This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, good morning and welcome to Open for Business, the show that dives into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. This morning on the show, co-founders of VidaNex, CEO Dr. Elaine Chan and COO Daniel Lim. VidaNex is the first spin-off company from the International Medical University and was founded back in November 2023, just 4 or 5 months ago, with a mission to integrate AI with medical imaging solutions. From pancreatic to breast cancer and many others, this homegrown university spin-off says that its AI-driven insights empower clinicians to make informed decisions, ultimately improving patient outcomes and ushering in a new era of precision medicine and patient-centric care. On top of that, the solution is supposed to help digitalize healthcare by enabling clinicians to transition seamlessly from traditional to modern processes, optimizing efficiency and improving patient care, the standard digitalization mantra. Now, all that sounds great, but what is it actually mean, and how does this all look and feel like in the real world? Well, that's something we're going to get into today, along with an exploration of their respective backgrounds and how they came together to do this. We'll also talk about the genesis of this venture and future aspirations driving VidaNex. Dr. Elaine, Daniel, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Daniel? Thank you so much for having us here. It's an honor here.
I mean, very interesting stuff that you two are working on here. And Dr. Lin, from your business card, I can tell that you are from IMU itself and you've taken the ride along on this commercial journey. You started working on this 4 years ago, if I remember, from the R&D idea perspective.
Yes, that's correct.
And Daniel, a little bit about your background here, because you are not from the university. In fact, you're not from a medical background or a research background. So tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, so I'm actually a serious entrepreneur. I've been doing agency business for the past 10 years. So because of all this experience I have, and I spin off one of the company that's doing software house. And that's where we come in to work together with IMU. And then we come across with this amazing idea about digitalizing on the pathology. And that's where we started to decide we should push this forward, because we see that this is actually helping a lot in terms of the healthcare of Malaysia. We shouldn't just do it on the traditional way. We have to do it in the digitalized way we have, yeah. Especially with the AI now we have. Yeah.
Now, just to be clear, of course, this is still relatively new. AI and generative AI and all of this is also still an up-and-coming thing. So we'll talk a little bit about how this all came together. I presume, Dr. Elaine, it's going to be your area of focus. But I'm curious, though, Dr. Lin, you getting involved, this is very clear, right? You were already at IMU, you were working on this. And so you followed along on this journey. Daniel, yes, you're an entrepreneur, but how did you get involved with this particular project?
So I have this software house. It's called Epic, and we've been working together with IMU for the past 5 years.
Okay.
We developed different products together with IMU. So we come across with a lot of different research projects together with IMU. And before the pandemic, we actually figured out we should actually look into more onto building more project that is actually sustainable in long terms. And that's where I come across with Elaine, and Elaine shared with me this idea. And that's where we decided to spin it off. Yeah.
And your current roles, let's talk a little bit about that, right? So, Dr. Elaine, given that you were the spearhead, the research, I presume, and you've now taken that next step to kind of follow along this journey. Talk to us about your current role as the CEO of VidaNex.
Yeah, so currently, what my main role, so I'm so glad to have Daniel on this board together on this journey that we just started. So it's good that he able to focus on the business aspect, and my role mainly in the company is to drive the directions of the development and how we're going to position the products and solutions and where we're heading in the future itself. So more towards technology developments.
Tech, product, that's all within your role scope there. And Daniel, business development and driving?
Yeah, because it is considered as a deep tech company that we are building here, and it's healthcare related. So I'm not coming from that background, so I have to work closely with Elaine. So Elaine is basically deciding on what are the product development stage that we need to push, and what other, for example, what other AI that we should develop, and where is actually the product that we should push to. So me, myself, I'm more into the business development, fundraising, and then, of course, like PR one. So I'm handling the PR as well, yeah.
So I'll leave all the marketing and business questions to you then, Daniel. Elaine, I'm curious though, right? Because I've spoken to some other academics who've eventually gone on to spin-off companies, and they really cared about what they were building and they wanted to see it through. But not everyone does that, right? Not everyone leaves the research world and builds a company. A lot of them will maybe let the university license the IP out and let someone else build it. Why have you decided to take a step out of academia and into the very volatile world of entrepreneurship? Why take this step?
I think that started when one day when I was doing all this research, like doing the normal researcher role, you get grants, you actually do your research, after that you publish paper. And one day I think to myself, does all research actually always end up in publication? Mm. So that made me think further that why we can't see that all this great research that we have done being actually translated in real world in clinical setting. And with that, that's give me an opportunity to actually join one of the Leaders in Innovation Fellowship Program from Royal Academy of Engineering UK. That's where we have a one-year crash course that actually teaches all about entrepreneurship that we have. So with that, that gives me the courage and the bonus to actually take that step up to venture into this new startup.
So I guess a big part of that is you want to see this something that you've seen from idea to now commercialized product. You want to see it through, basically.
Yes, that's correct. Because we don't need to have good research being stuck on paper. You need to eventually help patients that to improve healthcare, especially in Malaysia itself.
And we need to see more of this commercialization of R&D and IP, right? A lot of times it's just on paper, you don't see it executed in real life, and a lot of this good intelligence is just being stuck in, some publication somewhere. How's the journey been like? I know it's only been a few months, but how's the journey been like now that you're, a startup founder?
I think there's up and downs. There's exciting moment where we go manage to get this funding, manage to get this grant. There's some new perspective into the business itself, but also there's downtime or challenges or different challenges that we trying to go through because I think this area that's quite new. There's a lot of, different... for example, policies that we need to get it approved and all the requirements from the registration and so forth. I think that's a mixed feeling of up and downs, but so far, I think we are still enjoying the process.
Nice. Yeah. This journey for you began, again, like you mentioned, in 2020 when you first started this research, right? So talk to us about, why this particular area of research and developing this particular area, right? The application or integration of artificial intelligence into medical imaging in general or a medical imaging solution. Why was this your focus in 2020? And talk to us about that.
Yeah, it started because I think during that time, this is where the AI boom come out. Mm-hmm. Everybody is talking about AI, but during that time, I think healthcare sector is lag behind because there's a lot of restrictions.
So this
in
was
terms
back
of
in 2020?
Yes, in 2020. So with that, we sit down with a few researchers from different background, from computer science background and so from medical expertise background. Then we say, hey, look, we need to do something about this to bridge the gap between AI and medical healthcare. Mm. So with that, that comes to form, actually we had formed a consortium for AI for digital the pathology consortium between three universities. With that, that started our drive and our passions into digital pathology research projects.
And what specific, what was the problem? So yes, there's this whole AI, you want to take it and apply it into healthcare. But that's the tech, right? Mm. What was the problem that you wanted to address when you started your research? And now that you've taken it all the way here into a commercialized product, what was the problem?
I think it started with cancer diagnosis. We know that cancer is a disease that's so common nowadays. But now we are actually still depending on actually the experts, the pathologists to actually view the slides after they actually collected the samples from the patients under the microscope. And the transportation of all these slides actually take time. Imagine in remote region, they're transporting from a remote regions in Sarawak to the main hospital where the main pathologists are. The logistic issue is a main problem. And after that, the pathologists, which is quite limited expertise in Malaysia, they have to actually go through the hospital itself to view the slides under microscope and actually come up with the diagnosis. That could take weeks. And weeks sometimes is very important for cancer treatment.
Yeah.
With the delay, it will lead to maybe a very bad prognosis because of the treatment delay. So with that, our initiatives come into that we want to solve that issue mm-hmm. because we don't want people to die because of something that can be solved with technology.
So the overall solution here is two prongs. Mm. One is a digitalization initiative that's taking place that you're trying to help digitalize healthcare. Mm. So particularly maybe in the Klang Valley, we're in this bubble where, you know, everything is relatively, we have a lot of expertise here. But healthcare is not just a city thing, it's a countrywide thing. Mm. And you have areas where you may not have as much expertise in certain particular areas. So there's a digitalization initiative there, being able to digitalize all this scan so that it can be maybe sent to a lab quicker. But on the other side, the second prong here is the integration of AI into reading or processing those images and coming up with a diagnosis, right? Those are the two prongs here?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Daniel, I know I can see you shifting your seat. We'll get to you in a little bit. Don't worry, a lot of business questions, my favorite part, of course. But before we get into the business side of things, of course, so that's the two prongs here. And maybe Dr. Lin, you can kind of tell us, right, and the listener here, what really, aside the digitalization of all this, what is the unique selling point in comparison to all the other solutions that we currently have in Malaysian healthcare?
Yeah, so maybe I just expand further from what I've just mentioned just now. So after you digitalize the slides, that's open up for us to actually implement AI into the image that's being digitalized. So what you can imagine that once the slides are digitalized, so we can have AI models to just quickly pick up the regions of interest that's differentiating, for example, abnormal and normal cells areas. So with that, the experts just need to directly go to that area to verify and come up with the reporting. That will save a lot of time for them to actually review the whole slides, then come up with diagnosis. So that is something that we wanted to actually have it in the solution itself. And what makes us different from other solutions is that we know that there's a lot of AI out there. There's no doubt on that. But most of the time, AI is developed by tech company, which has actually little understanding about how the clinical workflow works in a healthcare settings. So we make sure that we don't repeat the same mistakes or this, so that what is being developed is user-ready and is actually we want the solution to be known as it's developed by clinicians for clinicians so that it could be easily being implemented into the workflow that we currently have in the healthcare setting itself.
By clinicians, for clinicians. I like that line. Daniel, Elaine, we've got to go into a few messages. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the product mix today, the R&D journey, but also the business side of the equation. Folks, I've been speaking with co-founders of VidaNext, CEO Dr. Elaine Chan and COO Daniel Lim. VidaNext is a spin-off company from the International Medical University with a mission to integrate AI with medical imaging solutions and digitalizing healthcare. I'm Roshan Gunnison. You're listening to Open for Business. We'll be back in just a bit, so keep it here to be FM 89.9, the business station.
Bloggers for Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kandison, and this morning I'm speaking with the co-founders of VidaNext, CEO Dr. Elaine Chan and COO Daniel Lim. VidaNext is a spin-off company from IMU with a mission to integrate AI with medical imaging solutions. Now, obviously, IMU was formerly known as International Medical University. So both of you have been on this interesting journey. Now, to be clear, VidaNext in its current form, the spin-off form, has only been around since November 2023, so still relatively early. But the journey, Dr. Elaine, that you've been on started back in 2022 with the idea of integrating, helping digitalize the healthcare industry, particularly with digital images and then applying AI into all of that. Now, with that in mind, Dr. Elaine, could you elaborate on how VidaNext leverages AI algorithms to enhance cancer diagnosis and detection in the scans, right? Because that was a big part of your conversation earlier. I know we can't get super deep into this. I think a lot of us get lost in it. But on the surface level, talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So the normal process of how actually I can start from cancer diagnosis itself. So when a patient is actually suspected to have cancer, a small tissue sample will be taken from the body itself and put on a glass slice. So the physical glass, with digitalization, we're able to actually scan the whole glass with the whole slide scanner. So the whole glass will be, now we call it the whole slide images. From the whole slide images, then we're able to train AI model to recognize the, for example, to differentiate the regions in the slide itself that's abnormal itself. So because the slide's view is very big, is actually after digitalization for the experts to view the slides, it also requires some time. So what we built AI algorithm for is to straight away zoom into the, or flag up, I would say the flag up the abnormalities that they have detected on the slide itself for the experts to quickly go through that regions that are being detected by the AI to verify it. So we are not replacing the experts. We are giving a tool for the experts to actually perform their job better with AI. So with that, that is what we try to help so that with that, they can reduce their workload and they can be more efficient, and we want to actually standardize the diagnosis. This is because of the experience of the different pathologies that they might have. And with this standardization, AI can be a tool and a guide to actually help them to actually standardize their workflow and to have increased accuracy in terms of detection.
I guess I'm sure we are using a lot of technology in healthcare as it is, but you know, when a person is doing it, there's still that human element where there's a bit of trust, right? It's like, I trust another person as opposed to maybe the tech, although the numbers and the stats would tell us otherwise. There is still a human bias, I guess, in that. How do you think about that, right? Is it, do people, is that a concern in terms of adoption, or do you see that the numbers will tell the story here in terms of the failure rate, in terms of misdiagnosis and things like that?
Yeah, so when we talk about AI algorithm, normally we talk about accuracy, sensitivity, specificity of the model itself. So what we want to actually implement here in healthcare industry, because healthcare, we're dealing with patient life. This is not something that, oh, it's failure, then we restart again.
Yeah.
Patient lives cannot be restarted. So what we develop is a tool. So that's why we always emphasize we are not replacing the experts' roles. Mm-hmm. The final decisions come back to the experts itself to make the informed decisions of what is the right diagnosis. What we're trying to do with AI is actually to fasten the pace. So in a more simple way, we can see that if you are an accountant, we'll give you a calculator of an Excel sheet to help you perform your job better. Mm-hmm. But in the end, the numbers and how you balance up the sheet is still depend on experts' experience, their knowledge to make the final decision and diagnosis itself.
So narrow the scope in terms of where to focus their attention.
Yes, correct. But the final diagnosis needs to come from the expert itself.
Daniel, so there are a few things at play here, right? And the two prongs that we talked about, there's the digitalization arm, there's the AI integration into medical imaging as well. And all this, I think, is being done through the platform that was launched a few weeks back, VitaPath, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
And talk to us about, you know, the product mix as it stands today. Is it just these two solutions right now under VitaPath?
Yeah, sure. But before we go to the product, I would like to add on something about what Elian just mentioned.
Sure.
So apart from the business side, there's some facts that in Malaysia is happening now, which is we have only about 480 pathology in Malaysia, servicing 33 million of population in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
So the numbers of pathology is declining. We talked to medical students why they are not going into pathology. The reason is quite straightforward. They don't want to just look through the microscope for the entire days. So they have to look through that microscope itself from morning to night and repeat it every day. So, I mean, you can imagine it is not really a very attractive job for students, right? So so that's why what we are trying to do here is the first part is digitalize it. So transform the normal workflow, which is right now the traditional way, the analog way. They're going through a microscope and writing down information on papers. So we need to scrap that. We have to stop that, right? So we move it all, everything in digitals. So once we go digitals, that's where a lot of opportunity open up. Instead of we sending the samples physically, which is causing the longer lead time, now it's just with a button or click, it can share instantly, right? And the same thing, it become borderless. So they can get second opinion from everywhere, right? And then with the AI add-in, it is so much faster and accurate. Because the AI doesn't have bias and the AI itself works faster because we train it in the way that we want, right? So what we have developed is actually there's two parts as well. So the first part is actually the VitaPath, which is the digitalized platform. So it allowed a clinician to actually to do the annotation, to do the training and all this in the platform itself. And then it also allowed them to actually do like further learning. So they can actually share it to a clinician that is actually authorized Right. And then the second part is the AI. So right now, it's actually MDA pending. We have the AI that we built for different cancers. And we also work with different universities, different partners to develop different AI module so that we will actually have the entire Malaysia clinician to combine our expertise together and then to build a better product.
Yeah. And who's the target market here? Are we targeting the big hospitals, the rural areas, the government hospitals? Who's the target market here?
Yeah, so our client base will be from hospital groups, from labs itself. Yeah, that's actually the main target.
Labs itself, like that's correct. Where a lot of this is being done, correct? And as we talked about earlier, right, it's important to get this right because you're talking about lives here, you're talking about diagnosis. You know, misdiagnosis can cost time, and that's maybe time that people can't afford when there is a cancer diagnosis on the cards here. And when it comes to AI algorithms and how they interpret and process information, a lot of it to the outside world is a black box. So Dr. Lane, talk to us about the R&D and IP development that went into this, you know, to give us a sense of confidence into what is being built today and where the product is today.
Yeah, so I think AI nowadays is not so much into black box anymore because now we can actually train it to recognize specific morphological features, those features on the slides that allow us to have explainable AI to, because that is very important in medical field itself. And I think one thing that I just wanted to actually reiterate what Daniel has said about federated learning, because one thing about training AI models, for AI models, the more the data, the better the accuracy.
The more you can train it, correct?
Yes, correct. But in healthcare setting, data is privacy, patient confidentiality will come in play. So with that, how we actually resolve this, and currently what we're doing is through the platform of federated learning. How it works is that we allow hospitals and labs to actually share their data, they annotate to contribute to the AI model, but the data remains at their hospital. So it's not shared out to the developing, but they are contributing to the training and building of the AI model itself. So if this, we're able to increase the variations that we have, because the variations of different labs, how they do their sample preparation will actually affect the accuracy of the AI model. So with this federated learning platform, we're able to ensure that the models that we build allow these variations to be accounted for and thus increase the accuracy of it.
And how long has this training been going on for? Obviously, you started research back in 2020, but you didn't start it from the get-go, correct?
Yeah, so for cancer diagnosis, each cancer module has to be trained individually. So for each cancer module, we started at different development stage. So some has been, actually, as Daniel had mentioned, has went to the stage of application of NDA. Some we just started. So each cancer module has been trained specifically by the experts to diagnose that specific cancer. So it's a concurrent different state parallel development that we have for the different AI detection model.
We've got to go into the news bulletin right now. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the stage in terms of the development and the R&D process of, in all this, and also about the business side of things as well. Folks, I've been speaking with the co-founders of VidaNex, CEO Dr. Elaine Chan and COO Daniel Lim. VidaNex is a spin-off company from IMU with a mission to integrate AI with medical imaging solutions. I'm Roshan Gunnison. This is Open for Business. We'll be back in just a bit. So keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Gunnison, and this morning I'm speaking with the co-founders of VidaNex, CEO Dr. Elaine Chan and COO Daniel Lim. VidaNex is a spin-off company from IMU, formerly known as the International Medical University, and the company has a mission to integrate AI with medical imaging solutions, as well as helping digitalize healthcare here in Malaysia. Earlier, we talked about the four-year journey that this tech has been on, really, from Dr. Elaine, your early days of ideation in 2020 to now building a product that is ready for commercialization. But isn't there just yet, because I presume that you need, it's because healthcare is such a regulated space, you need to talk to the regulators, you need to talk to government in order to really be able to push this out there. So talk to us about that, right? Talk to us about where we are with this, with your solutions in terms of being able to bring it to market and sell it to the medical community. What's the engagement been like with the government?
Yes, that's, you're right. So for us in this healthcare industry, when we develop a tech like this, for us, we can't just sell it out there and let it implement. So we have to go, because it's highly regulated, we need to get a lot of policies being approved and guidelines before we're able to actually have that being recognized and accredited as part of the diagnosis process. So what we have to do as a team itself also, back in 2022, we actually started the first Digital Pathology Congress. What we wanted to do is that bring all the main stakeholders together to actually make them to actually discuss the way forward if now, hey, we are actually going towards the road of digitalization and bring AI models into helping healthcare industry. But what about the guidelines and implementations of it? So with that, the group has actually, we are working very closely with the Ministry of Health to form the policy, which is good news that today we know that they have finalized the draft and we are actually able to see it being implemented and being approved very soon in the near future. Yeah.
What is this policy, Dr. Lin?
Yeah, because when we come into digitalization, there will come to the issue of how long we need to keep those digitalized data and who can actually, how much workflow that need to be changed that you adopt to the new digitalization of the digital pathology diagnosis itself. So it need to be spelled out from the starting preparation of sample all the way to archival. So it need to be actually being listed in the food policy.
Right. So all the steps involved in the process from A to Z, including, I guess, not just the digital files, how long you keep them, but even the live samples, I presume, that would be
correct.
That would be detailed there. Again, because healthcare is such a regulated space and rightfully so. So, Daniel, where are we with the commercialization of the product then? Because so now we're playing a wait-and-see game, basically.
Yeah. So, even our company is actually relatively new. We only have like 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. But the whole project is not started just 4 or 5 months. We started this like 2 or 3 years ago. What happened now is we have a ready product that is actually we want to put into the market for the POC, some call it MVP. And our target is straightforward. We are targeting 5 to 6 installation by end of this year. And then this installation, it will be more on a validation stage because without policy, we can't do much.
So it's still testing, that means. So you're going to 5, 6 potential customers here, installing it there, and you're just doing testing. You're not commercializing it for patient use just yet.
We're not for patient use just yet, but for this stage itself, is already we're able to start making revenue. Why? It's because we are helping them to digitalize it.
Okay.
Because the digitalized part have to be going.
So it's the digitalized solution that you're selling first, but the AI stuff is still, you still have to wait and see.
So because when we're actually applying for the MDA, which is the Malaysian Medical Device, usually you have to apply for everything that we build. Mm-hmm. So it starts from the platform itself and AI itself have to be validated as well. So that is what we are working on. And this is actually a great progress for us because, I mean, through this 2 years' time, we have also established some good partnerships with industry players. And then we have a lot of support coming from our governments and also from, of course, like IMU is one of the most supporting partners as well. Yeah.
Speaking of IMU, obviously, this is as we talked about earlier, this is a spin-off from the university, their first spin-off. And it's not uncommon for universities to do this nowadays. Every university seems to want to build startups from the IP that they're developing internally. So talk to us about the relationship with the university today. Where is that at? How close do you work with the university as VitaNex?
Yeah, so actually most of the AI models that we have developed is started with the IMU relationship. So just being a medical university at itself, then that gives us the talent that is actually needed for us to actually come to the building of the experts' knowledge for the AI model itself. Mm-hmm. So with that, we can see IMU as an incubator hub for us to actually build and develop a product. And with that, we're able to further commercialize into the current setting. And it's happy to say that we are the first startup from the IMU itself, that we now begin this new journey together with IMU to see what it will be the next coming up for us.
Now, given that this is a spin-off from the university, I presume that they have or will have a stake in the business. Other than that, right, other than skin in the game, of course, how else will the university be involved in the business going forward? What can you share with us on that front? Either commercially or from an R&D perspective?
Maybe I can start from R&D perspective first. So, currently, they are actually, because from the medical university, they have the experts in terms of helping us for development. So we're working very closely with clinical experts from the university itself to build the AI model so that it will be commercial ready. When it's commercial ready, that's when we are able to translate it into a clinical setting through this spin-off that we have. So that is the plan, how we actually leverage also with the universities, helps also to connect to other medical hospitals out there to provide the knowledge and also the images and the data that's required for us to improve mm-hmm. the model itself.
And Daniel, on the business side, how close does VietnamX work with the university?
Oh, we work very closely. Apart from the R&D part, the university itself helping us to connect a lot of other, for example, like hospital or universities or even some government agency. So this helps us a lot as a startup because usually startup, they don't have any credibility. Mm-hmm. But with IMU as our what's the backbone, it gives us a lot of more flexibility and also confidence for partners to look at us.
Yeah. What can you tell us about the commercial arrangement between VietnamX and the university today?
Okay, I can't comment much on that because it's still on WIP now.
Okay.
Yeah, but we will release more information in the coming
months. So announcement akan datang.
Yeah, akan datang. So, yeah.
Now, AI model still being developed, still being tweaked on, so that's not something for sale just yet. The digitalization solution, though, is something that you're generating revenue from already. Talk to us about the business model at play today.
All right. So, I mean, technically, it's actually a SaaS business mm-hmm. because we will install the software, the system, the entire platform for the hospitals or for any health institution. And then we will charge on a yearly basis. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And then, but this is the first part, and then it will also depends on the usage of it and the volume of it. So this will determine on the second layer of the pricing.
So there's an activity component as well. So
correct.
A usage component to
correct.
It as well.
Yeah.
So assess as a subscription fee as a base and
yep.
then usage as a... All right,
yep.
Got it. And you're already generating revenue or is it still pre-revenue?
We are expecting by the second half of the year, we will start generating revenue.
And talk to us a little bit about your targets, I guess, given especially that you're the business side of things. Mm. I'm sure there are some expectations in terms of how much or how many users you're going to get this year or what kind of revenue you're going to be looking at.
Yeah, we are talking about six figures by end of this year. Mm-hmm. Because of that, there are still no policy for digital diagnosis yet. So we won't be pushing it too hard. Mm-hmm. For us, it's more too, it's a healthcare and it's a life-saving related. So we just want to make sure it is mature and it's ready enough for the market. So by this year, apart from going to the hospitals and all this, we also targeting for the education part because to transform the traditional pathology or the future pathology, they need to be trained as well. So the education part is one of our pipeline and it's one in one of our development right now. So that will be something generating revenue in the earlier time.
The education business.
Education, yeah.
So that's training, learning and development yeah. for people who need to use the digitalization platform.
Correct, yeah.
All right, so that will be, so that you'll get training fees coming in from there as well.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that's going to come into play that will help you drive revenue in the next year?
Because we are considered as a deep tech, so much of the development will be very much depends on our R&D.
Mm.
Yeah. So we won't generate a lot of revenue from the early stage, mm-hmm. especially when the policy is not there. But we have great partners that we can't announce yet,
okay.
but we have great partner that is actually from international level and they are bringing us to a Southeast Asia regions. And we're also targeting for some other region country as well.
Mm-hmm.
With the partner help, I think this all we can see some result by early next year.
Now, I will skip the usual talk about profitability for today, given how new you guys are, and we'll save that for a future conversation. But let's talk about funding, right? Given that how early you are, you're definitely burning some money here in order to get things going. Talk to us about how much funding has been secured so far and how that's been utilized. What can you tell us about that?
All right. So the business itself is started as a spin-off from university. So ourselves personally, we invested our own money into mm-hmm. the company itself. Right now, it's still on R&D stage, right? So it's actually burning a lot of cash because in terms of the operation, the manpower and all this. But we have a high hopes for this business because it is on the edge of changing from analog to digital. And with the AI, everyone is very keen on this. Apart from securing grants from governments or universities. We are also having a lot of attention from VC that are keen on investing. There's a lot of negotiation ongoing now. We're going to make more announcements in the coming months. Yeah,
but you are fundraising.
We doing it ourselves right now. Mm. Yeah, but we're going to do fundraising soon.
Okay, so right now you're funding it yourself, maybe partially from the university, I presume, or at least the R&D component was initially funded by university.
Correct.
Before the spin-off.
Yeah.
You're looking to raise funds. Are there any particular kinds of investors that you're looking for to help take this forward? Because VC is only one type, and even within the VC space, there are so many different types of venture capitalists out there.
Correct.
What kind of investors are you looking for to help you help take this forward?
Given the industry that we are in, health tech, and it is one of the most difficult startup scene that we pick. Mm. And a lot of VC, they are actually kind of like of health tech because it's a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But we see that certain VC or investor, they are super interested in health tech, especially coming together with AI. So we have a lot of attention recently coming from VC or angel investor or even from listed company.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we will have much more information to announce.
Options
very,
still
very soon.
Open, basically.
Yes.
Can't tell me too much now.
Yes.
So we'll wait and see. But Dr. Lin, I see you want to add some stuff there.
Yeah, sure. Because I think the other part, recently Malaysian government has been actually promoting a lot of startup initiative and wanted us to actually encourage entrepreneurship and startup. Mm-hmm. With that, one of the, I think, major funding that we get is from the support of the Malaysian government itself through the encouragement of programs that to encourage. So we are part of the sandbox and also the areas that the government has actually set apart for us to actually apply for to actually keep our
going. So this would be
going.
Grants under MOSTI or something along those lines?
Yeah, under Meranti. We are actually now part of Meranti sandbox.
To add on that, I think our government right now is actually pushing very hard on digitalized and AI.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the agencies like Meranti, MOSTI, they are really pushing on to project like this.
And the funds raised, right, as we come to the close of the conversation, what will you be targeting to use the money for, especially, you know, five months into the spin-off? You're going to raise this money to do what specifically?
Yeah, so the money that we're going to raise is actually to further expand on our R&D, because there are still a lot more need to be done. At the same time, of course, like there will be needs for different expansion, like we need to considering about different kind of PR or marketing to because there's no people know that we have this kind of tech in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
So part of it will go to marketing as well. But most of it will actually go into the R&D. Yeah.
Dr. Elin, given that, you know, you've been working on this for 4 years now, what are your long-term ambitions or where do you want to see Betanex go in the next few years?
Yeah, so for us, that one day we hope that the solution will be a one-stop solution for cancer diagnosis. Why we say that it will be a diagnostic solution that able to detect all types of cancer. And with that, we're actually able to save many patient lives, especially in remote regions. I think that is one of our inspiration for us to keep going in this journey itself.
Wonderful. And I wish you all the best, especially with the regulatory environment and getting that all on the up and up as well. Because as you mentioned earlier, there's no space here for trial and error. It's about lives, right? And it's a very sensitive space. So good luck. And thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much.
Folks, I've been speaking with the co-founders of VidaNex, CEO Dr. Elaine Chan and COO Daniel Lim. VidaNex is a spin-off company from IMU, formerly known as the International Medical University, with a mission to integrate AI with medical imaging solutions, as well as empowering digitalization in the healthcare industry. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can catch the podcast on the BFM app. Our shows are also available on anywhere you listen to podcasts, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anything else out there. Just look for Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kennison. You've been listening to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM
89.9. You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.